The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I was trying to think of a different way to ask the chemistry question.
Pippen and Jordan.
This is special. This just doesn't happen. You will not see the likes of this again.
Major breaking news. Packers traded Davante Adams to the Raiders.
This had been building for quite some time, and it stems back to Davante Adams' unhappiness and the way that they treated him during this contract negotiation.
If Aaron Rodgers was not the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, no one would be comfortable with that void left with Davante Adams.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have to put that whole team on his shoulders, and they're going to have to get deep in the playoffs.
The near-perfect quarterback-wide receiver duo of Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams of Green Bay is no longer, as of course he now plays for the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to dive into what it means for the Green Bay Packers in just a few moments as we say hello and welcome to NFL Live. We've got a loaded show and a loaded crew you can see here left to right. Marcus Spears, Tim Hasselbeck, and Jeff Darlington. I am Field Yates. As promised, we start in Green Bay where Aaron Rodgers enters this season without Devontae Swaggy for the first time since 2013. Sounds as though the back-to-back MVP has struggled without him in recent years. As a matter of fact, over the past three seasons, when Adams has been inactive for the Packers, Green Bay is somehow 7-0 and averaging over 32 points per game, or just under 32 points per game. In those games, Rodgers posted a total QBR of 79 while throwing 19 touchdowns to just one interception. Rodgers was asked about Davante Adams' departure earlier today.
I love Davante, so, you know, I was obviously disappointed, but not going to stand in his way, as he pursues the next step in his career. I appreciate everything that we accomplished together. Disappointed we couldn't finish together, but absolutely zero animosity, nothing but love for him. With how high we picked Christian, there'll be expectations, but we just need him to be the best version of himself and Romeo, and I'm excited about Sammy. Made some plays, today. It's good to see him out there. He looks the part. We'll get Allen back and Randall. We got three solid right there, and there's a lot of competition behind those guys.
For more of what we heard today in Green Bay, we bring in none other than the great Rob Domofsky. He covers the Packers for us here at ESPN. Rob, what else did Aaron Rodgers have to say today?
Well, Field, there was a lot of talk about his future, and we all know that he signed that three-year, $150 million extension, right? Well, some people assume that that meant he's going to play three more years or maybe beyond. But Rodgers said, look, that was more for salary cap relief than anything else, and that he's still in a year-to-year situation. He said that deal is really a one plus two plus another one. But here's something interesting. I asked him if he's pretty sure or very sure that he will finish his career in Green Bay, and he said, yes, definitely. So after a year ago when he was in all sorts of turmoil with the organization, he now can say emphatically that he plans to finish his career here. Now, as for why he's here this week, it's mandatory minicamp. He skipped the entire offseason program. He said, I'm here so I won't get fined. But Field, he was only half joking, because I was told that last year when he skipped everything, including this minicamp, he actually did receive a letter of fine from the Packers during that tumultuous time. But he's here. He's going to work this week with those young receivers, with Sammy Watkins, and then he's going to take the rest of the summer off starting next week and be back here for training camp.
Probably on the golf course. He's got some pretty good game. That much is for sure. If you need great Packers coverage, follow none other than Rob Domofsky. Thanks as always, Rob. We'll talk to you soon. All right, so Tim, whatever you think about Aaron Rodgers, he's going to have some new names on the depth chart. He kind of listed them for us during that earlier answer. Do you have any concerns there's going to be a learning curve, so to speak, for the Packers quarterback or perhaps those pass catchers?
I don't, maybe for the pass catchers a little bit, Field, but I'm not concerned about this offense or concerned about Aaron Rodgers. Look, he's been outstanding for his entire career, and he's done it with a cast of different people, you know, every season he's been playing. You know, you had that graphic up to start the show of what he's done when Devontae's been out of the lineup. 19 touchdowns and one interception. I mean, the reality is, over the last four seasons, Aaron Rodgers has thrown 136 touchdowns, and he's thrown 15 15 interceptions. He's been that good. And it's not been just because he's played with Davante Adams. And I really believe that even as an offense, just philosophically, they do want to have more balance, which is why they've got two good backs. And I think we'll see them continue to kind of trend that direction with Matt LaFleur as the head coach.
I'm concerned because I'm concerned about rapport. I'm concerned about them being on the same page fast enough in order to put themselves in a position to be rolling at the end of the year and experience as well. The last outing that I saw Aaron Rodgers in, Davante Adams was going crazy in the first half against the San Francisco 49ers. And then there was nothing. There was other guys on the field at the time, but there was not a high level of production. Now, obviously, we get into an offseason and you got receivers that you'll be able to work with as the season approaches and also training camp. So we're still, I know that we're sitting here in June, but I don't know if people are really paying attention to the impact that Davante Adams had on this offense. And I know Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, and I know Green Bay will be fine. Aaron Rodgers is not going to suck because Davante Adams left. But what I do know for a fact, because we've all watched it, is that for as great as Aaron Rodgers has been, it has produced no title games. It has produced no Super Bowls. And when we start talking about a contract and a quarterback that may be going year to year with a first-year wide receiver that they drafted in Christian Watson, I think Alan Lazard and him will get on the same page as fast as anybody because they have the most reps. But I'm never going to do a show anymore when we start talking about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers and how good he is. We already know that. The problem is this is about Super Bowl or nothing for the Green Bay Packers because of everything that transpired leading up to this.
And, Tim, along those lines, does it surprise you that I should say this. Does it signal to you that the Packers believe they are still a Super Bowl team, given Rodgers' age, his contract situation, and the fact that they've won 39 games over the past three regular seasons? They must internally believe they can make up for the loss of Davante Adams.
I don't think there's any doubt they feel like they can. And I listen, I'm not here to minimize Davante Adams as a player. I think Aaron Rodgers has been on record as saying he's the best player that he's ever played with. And so, look, they're losing a great player. But I don't think that's really going to change Aaron's production. And so when you look at production in terms of throwing touchdowns and not turning the football over, you win games that way, plain and simple. And so, look, I don't think they're going to be worse on defense. In fact, I think they'll be better. I think they'll be more balanced on offense. And Aaron is a good enough quarterback to let the coverage dictate where the ball goes, not necessarily just trying to find a matchup for Davante. So, look, the Packers, probably think they're still a Super Bowl team, and I would agree with them.
I keep thinking that this team in 2022 might look like the team we saw in 2019. That was the first year that Matt LaFleur was the head coach, and Rodgers was great, but his numbers weren't bonkers like they've been the past 2 years when he was named the NFL's MVP. Let's go from Green Bay to the team that ended their season last year, the 49ers, and the last time that anybody heard from Deebo Samuel, it was Jeff Darlington, who'll have in just a second, when Deebo told Jeff that he had requested a trade from San Francisco. The team has not obliged that demand, but you can see Deebo Samuel is at the team's mandatory minicamp that started earlier today, so let's bring in the man that last heard from Deebo. Jeff, what do we know about the relationship between their star wide receiver slash wide back and the organization right now?
Well, Field, obviously it feels like a good thing that Deebo Samuel is out on the field, given the fact that, like you said, he did request the trade. And when I had talked to them, I got no sense that he ever planned to honestly put on a 49ers uniform again. So even if it's for minicamp, that is a good sign. Now, what does this accomplish? The first thing it does is it helps Deebo avoid the fines that would come with missing mandatory minicamp, upwards of $88,000 for the three-day period. The other side of this, of course, is it provides an opportunity for dialogue between he and the 49ers. And even if it's not in the form of contract negotiations when it comes to actual financials, it is about fostering a relationship that is right now considerably broken. Can that be repaired? Can it be fixed? That is probably the question of the remainder of the offseason when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, we certainly get why San Francisco is motivated to keep him around and mend that relationship, because last year he was perhaps the most important and versatile playmaker in the NFL. Look at this. Out of 73 players with at least 50 catches last year, he ranked first in yards per reception, over 18 per catch. And out of 91 players with at least 50 carries, he ranked fourth in yards per rush. All right, so Swagoo, I know that you trust your eyes more than the numbers, but those numbers are eye-popping. What do you make of what those numbers tell you?
Those numbers tell me that Deebo Samuel is the offense for the San Francisco 49ers. And what the playoffs told me last year is that in critical moments, Deebo Samuel was the guy that they wanted to have the ball in his hands, more so than their quarterback, okay? And when you talk about value, the reason why Deebo wants to be known as a wide receiver is because what we've watched. Didn't we just see Tyreek Hill get $150 million and Davante Adams get paid out like crazy and Stephon Diggs re-up a contract? That's why he wants to be deemed that babyface. But ultimately, when you look at this offense, right, and as much credit as we give Kyle Shanahan, because he's phenomenal, phenomenal offensive mind, has done a tremendous job, has actually had a lot of guys look great in this offense. But ultimately, right now in 2022, Deebo Samuel is the most important player for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, most important player. Listen, you know, Swagoo, here's the deal. He's the best player in the sport with a ball in his hands in the entire NFL. Yeah. That's who Deebo Samuel is. When you look at those numbers in terms of, you know, his production when it's in his hands, and you look at yards per catch, first in the NFL, but depth of target, 65th. So what's that tell you? When it gets in his hands, he's better than everybody else. They hand it to him, and they throw it to him a bunch within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And look, here's what I'll say in terms of Trey Lance's development and how Kyle Shanahan can use him. Kyle Shanahan's been the best over the last decade at manufacturing completions around the line of scrimmage, within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. And you have a young, inexperienced quarterback. Manufacturing completions is important. But then you put on top of it the fact that the guy who catches the ball can turn it into something great. That helps the quarterback even more. That's why I really think we've heard John Lynch take a pretty solid stance on this in terms of Deebo Samuel not leaving the building.
Yeah, what an offseason it's been if Deebo Samuel is eventually traded. A crazy NFL offseason would just get that much crazier.
Don't do it, San Fran.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We'll have game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final for you tonight. With the Rangers up 2-1, our coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, right here on ESPN and ESPN+. And now to Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel talking about his lunch today.
Spicy tuna roll. It's really just a medium for wasabi. I don't eat fish, but I eat sushi. Makes no sense. Yep. That's called a child that wasn't forced by his mother to eat food. And then in social settings in his early 20s in Houston, it's like, hey, this is kind of a cool scene. Raw sushi, let's try it out. That's all it was. And then it was, hey, this is spicy. That's all I eat. Red gravy is my favorite condiment, which is all hot sauce.
Swagoo, he may not be Dan Orlovsky, but your thoughts on Mike McDaniel's food tastes?
My first thought is I'm confused as hell. I don't know. I got lost in the middle of it. Did he eat a spicy tuna roll, but then said he didn't eat fish, so was there no tuna in the roll? I don't know, babyface. Y'all pose these questions to me like I'm supposed to get inside the head of a guy that sounds like a crazy man when he's talking about food. Food is simple, people. Yeah. It's simple. If it's good, eat it. If it ain't, don't eat it. I don't know what the hell Mike McDaniels was talking about just now.
I need that clipped off and saved somewhere. If it's good, eat it. So let's pivot from food to football, because why not? Time now for a little read and react, and we go back to Miami, where first-year head coach Mike McDaniel, with his interesting food decisions and comments, was asked how his thoughts about Tua, his quarterback, have changed now that he's actually seen him in action.
As far as his game, I think his skill set, it tighter areas only enhances his ability. You know, he's an accurate quarterback that really knows how to place the ball where he wants it to be placed. The work we have done, I've been very pleased.
Tim, what do you expect from Tua this season?
Listen, my expectations are that he has his best season yet. Look, the supporting cast is better. The offense in terms of scheme and how the coach puts him in a position to have success, I think, will be better. I think there's an element for me that Tua has been a little bit unfairly judged when you think about coming off the hip injury, being in a situation competing against a 15-year veteran, change at offensive coordinator, dysfunction on the team. And so I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air for Tua Tagovailoa.
Next up, we go to Philadelphia, where head coach Nick Sirianni spoke with Sal Pal about a second-year quarterback, now third-year quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
What I see is a crisper ball, the accuracy I've been very pleased with. And so you can just see him taking strides every single day with his accuracy because of the fundamentals that he has with his feet and his upper body.
All right, Marcus, we talk about this a lot, but what do we need to see from Jalen Hurts to show that he is the guy in Philly?
Sirianni hit on it, and you can see the emphasis that he put on accuracy and his footwork and tying that to his body as he's a thrower downfield. That's what it's gonna boil down to. We know Jalen Hurts is a phenomenal athlete. We know they can run an RPO game with him. We know he can hit short intermediate passes and allow his guys to make plays after that. It's just when those times call for you to be a pocket passer and a guy that can push the rock downfield, will he be able to answer the call? Especially when you have a franchise looking at A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Quez Watkins and Dallas Goedert on the outside. You have to be able to hit those guys with some distance on your throws. And that is where Jalen will be judged. He'll still be a good football player, but now we're concerned about him being a really good quarterback when all things are not great as far as him turning to his athleticism.
A lot of great points there. And, Tim, I think that the NFL season's long. There are topics that we cover too much because we don't have anything else to talk about. This one's not one of them, because I think this Jalen Hurts story is really interesting. It has a ton of potential ripple effects if he does play well or if he doesn't play well. So what are your thoughts on Jalen Hurts and how he needs to progress this year?
Yeah, well, I would just kind of piggyback on Nick Sirianni and Marcus on this. We know he's a good football player. Like, plain and simple, he can play football. Yeah. We saw it at the college level, and we've seen it at the pro level. Like, when his ability to compete and play the game is great. But that is a little bit different than playing the position of quarterback. And playing the position of quarterback requires, third and nine, known passing situation, being able to make the right decision, make an accurate throw when they're static in the pocket, being able to play with anticipation accurately in the red zone. Things like that about playing the quarterback position. I think there needs to be enough seen out of Jalen Hurts to feel like, you know what? He's not just a guy that's a great athlete playing the position or a good runner playing the position. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that truly understands how to be a more efficient passer because, ultimately that's what it's going to come down to compete against the best of the best. And we're only talking about Super Bowl contending teams with guys that are able to do that, and I think he's got to be able to prove it.
Huge year ahead for Jalen Hurts. Hey, new on NFL Live, this just in from Darius Leonard himself, the Colts all-pro linebacker, who tweeted, "Surgery went well, feeling amazing, and ready to get back going. If you know me, you know I always come back way better than I was. Let's go, man. Ankle feels amazing and can't wait to get back moving. Thanks for the texts and the calls." Of course, that procedure took place earlier today. Good to see that Darius Leonard is already in good spirit. He's a huge part of the Colts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Aaron Donald rips into the turf, and he's sacked. Aaron Donald got there.
Let's go. He's scared.
The Los Angeles Rams are world champions.
He may be the best defensive player we've ever seen play in this league.
A real opportunity to win another Super Bowl, then it makes sense to play. So we got to handle the business side of things.
The Rams and Aaron Donald have reached agreement. Makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in history.
Why not running back? We could be world champions.
Yeah!
All right, so the Rams just made Aaron Donald the highest-paid non-quarterback in the NFL. We know about the accolades, but we decided to bust out the scatter chart. That's how you know this guy is the real deal. So the further you go to the right and higher, the more dominant the player is. And you see, like, one guy who's sitting there, as you're looking at his pass rush win rate when he's double-teamed, it's Aaron Donald all by himself. Like, every other player is in a different zip code, maybe a different continent. This guy is truly next level. Here's Sean McVay, who's very happy, discussing Aaron Donald's reworked deal.
Phenomenal, outstanding, any nice adjective that you can place around it. But it's a big deal, and he's earned it. And he truly is one of one, in my opinion. The respect that he's garnered around this league from guys that have done it at such a high level, what he's accomplished through his 8 years, Kirk, is unparalleled. Wanted to be able to find a solution to, you know, getting him taken care of, having him continue to lead the way for our team, for our defense. And, you know, we had a feeling it was trending in the right direction when he was at my wedding on Saturday night.
Sure, they had a little fun on that Saturday night wedding. But, Swagoo, the headline is obviously Aaron Donald, the new contract, all the accolades. But you want to show some love to somebody else in this process. Who is it?
Yeah, Les Snead, man. Look, sure. as excited as I am about Aaron Donald getting his deal, we think about the history of what Les Snead has been doing. And y'all know me, I'm unconventional. I don't deal in terms of the cap. I don't get nervous when people start talking about, well, what about the salary cap and what are they going to be? I don't care about that. It's not real. I'm going to say that for as long as this career lasts on TV. Here's the thing, man. Les Snead brought over Leonard Floyd, who was ousted in Chicago. Paid him because he had success. Jalen Ramsey, tumultuous situation in Jacksonville, got him over. Matthew Stafford bringing him over in a deal where McVay wanted to upgrade his quarterback spot. We look at OBJ coming over after the Cleveland deal. People forget that was huge. He was trending towards being the MVP in the Super Bowl. I look at a general manager and I say, Aaron Donald deal to get done is easy. That's an easy deal to get done. We're talking about this man being the greatest defender to ever play the game of football, and I don't think he's number one yet. I still got Lawrence Taylor up there, but he's definitely in that conversation. But I wanted to give Les Snead some credit because what he's showing his guys and the rest of the league, if you come in here and do your thing, or if we bring you into this fold, we're going to do everything to put you in a position of success, and we're going to pay you when the time comes.
Well, Swagoo, to your point about Les Snead, the Rams general manager, this is a guy who really has seen an evolution over the past several years. Really, within the general manager world, there's two different kinds of models. There's the one in which basically you're very patient, methodical about the way you build a team. You covet those draft picks. You don't really trade very much, and you don't really hit free agency hard. That's not what Les Snead did, and it caught the attention of the league several years ago to a degree that maybe raise some eyebrows. People saying, you know what, this guy's going to have to pay his credit card bill at some point, and it's going to be tough when he does. But here we are, years after they got to the Super Bowl one time with Jared Goff as quarterback. They did it again and won it last year with Matt Stafford. So at some point, by extension, Sean McVay, also building this organization, we have to look at this model and say, maybe it does in fact work.
Well, it does work, Jeff, especially when you choose the right players. I mean, let's face it, guys head into free agency in the draft all the time, and sometimes they just pick the wrong players. Don't pick good players. Pick players that were good somewhere else that don't end up being good with their team. And I think the reality is you go down that list of guys that Marcus mentioned, from Leonard Floyd, even Dante Fowler, you know, at one point. You know, OBJ, remember, guys, He was on the street when they signed him. Like, these aren't guys that necessarily were coming from situations where they were having a ton of success. There were some issues there. Jalen Ramsey, a disgruntled employee in Jacksonville, turned into a great player. Choosing the right player matters, because we've seen, you know, Washington used to do it in free agency where, you know, they'd go make a big splash and sign guys, but they didn't end up being the right guys. Mm. Philadelphia had the dream team once upon a time. Didn't work.
Yep.
And so I think also have to give them credit for doing a good job, you know, in terms of their research on the players they sign.
Yeah, player evaluation, still the essence of roster building. Let's pivot to the most impactful players in the NFL as determined by Swagoo. No quarterbacks allowed on this list, Swagoo. I got to figure AD figures into this mix somewhere. So who's number five?
Babyface, I love lists, and I love doing them in the offseason, and I'm going number five, Trent Williams, the left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers. We know how important Trent is to not only protecting the quarterback, but this scheme and how they use him. It was a tackle that ran reverse motion last year on blocks to create running lanes and alleys. It's a young quarterback in San Francisco. Having Trent Williams out there on the left side of the line of scrimmage is gonna make Trey Lance feel a hell of a lot comfortable. I'm going number four, my man T.J. Watt. Wattage, baby. When you start talking about game changers, when you talk about dudes that actually impact wins and losses, T.J. Watt does it as at a higher level as anyone in the league. Not only pressuring guys, dropping in coverage, tipped and batted balls, making timely plays. You get determined being great pass rushers when it's third down in critical game situations, and you can go make a play. TJ has shown us that time and time again, and leading a defense that still kept the Steelers afloat when they struggled offensively. Three, Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, look, we just talked about him. We know he's off the charts. We know that he's a guy that when we talk about the summation of the NFL, he's going to be in the conversation as one of the top 10 players to ever walk on the grass. But when I think about impact, he literally is the reason they won a Super Bowl this year. He's the reason that they closed out a game against the San Francisco 49ers. Everybody talks about the playmaking, but also his allowance of other guys to make plays as well. Not a coincidence. Number two, I'm going with the man child in Tennessee, King Henry. Listen, A.J. Brown just departed. We all know what the situation is going to be in Tennessee, but everybody's known that for three damn years. Derrick Henry going to get the ball. Can you stop him? And the answer to that is no, you cannot. As much as they try, stack the box, bring in a 12th player and try to blind the referees and lie to them, let you don't have too many players on the field. Still don't matter. Derrick Henry going to bust his head on the goalpost and run for 180 in the game and three touchdowns. And number one, Deebo Samuel. It's a guy that we just talked about. Tim pointed it out. 10 yards after he touches the football, no matter where he is. We saw in crunch time last year in the playoffs, it wasn't Jimmy Garoppolo with the ball. It wasn't Kittle. It was get Deebo Samuel the football. And they almost ended up in the Super Bowl because he was phenomenal. Not only did he run the ball out of the backfield, reverses, he caught the ball down the field, 18 yards per catch, okay? So when you start talking about importance of guys outside of the quarterback, to me, none more important than Deebo Samuel and what Kyle Shanahan is doing. But without these guys on this screen right here, these teams have no shot at getting into the playoffs and really having an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
I'm smart.
Wholeheartedly believe it. It's my list. If you're mad about it, make your damn own.
I was going to say, I'm smart enough to know I don't challenge Swagoo on most football matters. But Swagoo, no LSU guys on this list. Have you gone out of your mind?
No LSU guys, bro. I just go with the guys that I think, man.
Look at that.
And this is a hell of a list, baby face. You can't deny that this is a hell of a list.
It's a hell of a list.
And I showed a lot of position groups love.
You're too good of an analyst to even incorporate your own college into the list. Well done by you. Objective, as always. And, of course, Deebo, number one on your list, is in the news today because he showed up at 49ers mandatory minicamp. Let's get to some quicker reads with JD, starting right there in San Francisco, Jeff.
That's right, Field. Deebo Samuel out on the field. You can see him practicing on the sideline, not really in team drills, but definitely getting some running in. A little bit of a surprise for some, but this does allow him to avoid an $88,000 fine if he were to skip the mandatory minicamp. We'll find out where this goes and if Deebo Samuel still wants to be traded. Aaron Rodgers, meanwhile, shows up to minicamp. No surprise here. He had made very clear that while skipping OTAs that were voluntary, he did plan, of course, to be at the mandatory minicamp. And really, an important one for him. No longer does he have the wide receiver threat of Devontae Adams. Instead, two rookies and Sammy Watkins on the field, him throwing to those guys for the first time. So an important one for him. Tom Brady on the field with his team, trying to get back to that Super Bowl again. The one player out there that we did not see that maybe some would wonder when he'll show up is a guy who's not even on the roster in Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski still weighing his options for a potential return, but also avoiding the grueling offseason at the same time. So maybe a little bit of strategy on the part of Gronkowski. The Bucs do have about $12 million in salary cap space, so they can certainly afford Gronkowski should he decide to make his return.
Business decisions, baby. Wait till training camp, maybe even the end of training camp, to come back if you are Gronk.
Right.
I'm sure his locker is still ready. You mentioned Tom Brady. Well, speaking of Brady, running back Leonard Fournette told the media today how the Bucs quarterback recruited them back to Tampa earlier this offseason. Take a listen.
I was just shopping around, man, just seeing what best fits me, you know, and when he signed back, he called me. He's like, man, what your ass doing up there, man? I'm like, yeah, trying to figure some things out. So he signed back, and it was a no-brainer, you know. Why wouldn't I go back?
Tom Brady, the ultimate recruiter. Our ESPN Bucks reporter, Jenna Lane, does a great job covering the team, and she was at the facility today and joins us now. Jenna, tell us more about what you saw down there in Tampa.
Yeah, Field, Tom Brady did his fair share of recruiting this offseason. He got Leonard Fournette back. He got Ryan Jensen back. You know, he also has tried to get tight end Rob Gronkowski back, but as you heard from our Jeff Darlington, that hasn't really happened. And then Chris Godwin, of course, remains sidelined with that knee injury. So he spent much of his first minicamp practice trying to figure out who else he can count on. New faces, throwing to the likes of guys like Cody McIlroy and Jalen Darden. And at one point, he was visibly frustrated on an overthrown pass attempt to Darden.
I think besides Tom as the player, Tom as the leader, that's what he does. He expects perfection at all times. You know, granted, it's day one of minicamp, and you know, he hasn't been here, but when he comes back, it's like that expectation has never changed.
Well, any veteran that comes into camp gonna have new guys to work with every year at every position, so it's no different for him. But he's done it before. He understands that, and again, it's day one. Yeah, it's gonna be misconnections on both sides, and as we get the camaraderie back and the chemistry back, that'll grow.
And that chemistry did start to grow between Brady and Darden. They eventually got it together. By my count, Brady completed 13 of 17 passing attempts. He had a few more, but those, my view was obstructed. But overall, a solid day for Brady. He did, however, have an interception from safety Mike Edwards. And then as far as Rob Gronkowski goes, I've talked to folks inside the organization. They said there is no deal in place at this time, but they have kept in contact with him.
Well, if they get him back, and great stuff, Jenna, we know that would mean one of the most prolific quarterback receiver duos in NFL history would be reunited. They have 105 touchdowns. It's the second most by any quarterback and receiver. Jenna Lane on the scene doing great stuff as always.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The growth of women's sports, especially softball, is the opportunity for young girls to be able to see what a strong, confident, kick-butt woman looks like at the next level. For them to be able to turn on the television now and see themselves. The fact that I had the opportunity to be able to not only play sports, to get an education, but then that catapulted me for the rest of my life and career. It's now time for us to continue with Title IX to pay that forward for all women's sports.
Throughout the month of June, ESPN presents 50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
We're going to talk about the next player that's got to get that bag, because there's some dudes that deserves to get paid. My man, Jeffrey Simmons.
Under pressure, hit, sack!
but I want to see Devin White on phone calls like this. What y'all gonna do, Tampa? Is anybody else available? He is what you call an anchor.
No mercy.
A future Hall of Famer. Get that bag.
All right, Swagger, who's getting the bag this week?
All right, Babyface, first and foremost, disclaimer. Don't run up in my house. The money is not real. It is prop money. But you see the bags, and my man DK Metcalf got to get his money. The DK stand for I don't know why the hell the Seattle Seahawks ain't paid this man already. When you start talking about a big physical wide receiver, 29 touchdowns since 2019, and he's making $1.1 million. Most of the guys that have these type of numbers are making at least 15 to 16 million. Let's go look at it right here. DK Metcalf, 29 touchdowns, and look at that salary. Mm. Y'all think I just pulled this out of the air about the people that I think are supposed to get some money? And the situation in Seattle right now with their quarterback is not what you want to do is lose DK Metcalf. Oh, and let's talk about the will to win, the hunger to play at a high level all the time, even when things go bad. I know everybody remember this play. Mm. Look at DK Metcalf get on his horse and walk Buda Baker down in order to stop Buda Baker from getting in the end zone. So not only do you have a wide receiver that wants to make plays down the field and get in the end zone, he gonna stop other people from getting in there. But look at the energy and the hustle. These are the type of guys that you want representing your franchise. So y'all know the bag is full. And I need some of this, Seattle, to go to DK Metcalf. Mm. Don't know what you're waiting on.
Well, I think DK is wondering the same thing right now. As ESPN has confirmed that DK Metcalf was not present at the start of the team's mandatory minicamp, which would subject him to a fine.
Pay the man.
Pay that man.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chiefs lost several veteran defensive players this offseason, most notably in their secondary with the departures of both Tyrann Mathieu and Jamarius Ward. They then signed former Texans safety Justin Reed to replace Mathieu. To be clear, that actually came before Mathieu departed for New Orleans. They also added Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis in the first round of the draft, marking the first time in franchise history they used multiple first-round picks on defensive players in the same year. Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo addressed the changes earlier this week.
We're going to have to live with some growing pains. I believe that. There's a lot of unknowns from a coaching standpoint. What can this guy do? Can that guy do that? Can he do the same thing somebody did last year there? That may or may not be the case. So it's going to take some time. I'm throwing a lot at him right now, and they're probably talking that way. The volume's huge right now for a reason. You know, find out who can handle it, who can't. We'll never go into a game with all of this. So there'll be mistakes out there that normally I don't think we would make.
Swaggo, how important is it for this defense to gel right out of the gates this year?
Vitally important. Now, if we had that schedule, they start with winning teams, I believe the first 5-6 weeks of the season. Yeah, pull that schedule up and let me show everybody why it's important. Arizona Cardinals, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Colts with a new Matt Ryan, the Buccaneers, Tom Brady's still there, y'all. Las Vegas Raiders signed Devontae Adams this offseason in case y'all ain't been watching NFL Live. Mm. The Buffalo Bills got a cyborg at quarterback that nobody can stop. The 49ers is one of the most difficult offenses to stop in football. And the Tennessee Titans, we don't know what they will be, but Derrick Henry will have something to say about that. So start this season slow and don't be good on defense if you want to, Kansas City. You might not even be talking about getting into the playoffs. And last year, they had a difficult time at the beginning of the season. I think they were like 2-3, and we were wondering what was going on with the offense. This year, this defense is going to have to gel. So Spags is taking the right approach with overload information, but it's got to happen fast.
Yeah, Marcus, I think you're exactly right. And I think, in some ways make that case for everyone in the division. Now, you know, the division maybe won't have to go through the same growing pains defensively that the Chiefs will, but look, we know that we're going to get good quarterback play in that division. And while that's been the talking point all, you know, offseason about, you know, the battle of these quarterbacks, I think it's really about the supporting casts on these teams, which groups, which units will step up. So whether it's young wide receivers or whether it's, the offensive line, but most importantly, the defenses that support these quarterbacks.
Thank you, Tim. I was waiting on you to come on. Just come on with it.
Good offenses. Now, listen, you know it's true, and it definitely is in that division.
Nah, man, no doubt. I was waiting on you to get the defense because that – listen, I'm high on the Los Angeles Chargers because of that. They not only added players, they added experience. They added game-change type of players that can make plays all over the field with Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson coming over, coupled with Bosa, who is already an elite pass rusher, one of the best defenders. The Chargers right now is sitting at number one because of this defense for me.
Again, I can't wait for the AFC West. If I only could watch AFC West games this year, I would still be a happy football fan. It's time now for one more thing, as we always end the show. You think about the all-time great wedding crashers. You think Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson, and Odell Beckham Jr.?
So I just invited the captains from last year's team. And then there was a couple other guys that are retired players that you still have great relationships with. And Odell and I had a great relationship. I mean, I love Odell. And so only in Odell's fashion could he be the wedding crasher at our wedding. So yeah. Oh, showed up, crashed the wedding, and yes. I loved it that he was still there. He is, even my mom, she said, oh, he's so nice. And God, he is handsome in person,
right,
too.
I said, I'm talking about Odell. Wow, Odell crashed the wedding. I'm sure there was a moment where he said, Coach, come get me.
The best part. No, I said, you crash my wedding. You resign with the Rams then, man. I mean, that's a given right there. But one of our team doctors, who's amazing, Dr. Neil Elitras, was there. He did Odell's surgery, and Odell was looking smooth on the dance floor. He said, Odell, take it easy, man. Let's slow down.
Oh, Swagoo. I love it. If you crash your coach's wedding, you got to at least consider coming back, right?
Absolutely, man. But it speaks to what we was talking about, like the right type of dudes and the rapport. This is a part of winning the Super Bowl. That's phenomenal that he crashed the wedding.
Yeah, listen, I love that. The only thing I'm trying to figure out is, like, there's no honeymoon? I mean, Field, like, can you clean it
we'll
up there for McVay?
Hey,
no honeymoon?
NFL Live is back tomorrow.